This is Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist from Copycat Killers, Real Channel's true crime program about real murders inspired by movies. Be sure to subscribe to our series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find true crime TV series like this one on Reels Channel.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. Natural Born Killers, one of the most controversial films ever made. Hyper-violent, psychedelic, and stylishly sexy.
Natural Born Killers made it cool to be a murderer. At least in the movies.
Mickey and Mallory Knox are a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde, two young lovers who love to kill. To Oklahoma teenagers Ben Darris and Sarah Edmondson, they're the inspiration for a copycat killing spree.
Ben and Sarah wanted to be Mickey and Mallory.
Look what I brought.
Sarah and Ben took a road trip from hell.
Like their movie counterparts, these troubled lovers share a dangerous chemistry.
What a rush!
Oh, baby. I believe Ben and Sarah created their own reality based on the movie, which unfortunately involved killing people.
Their multi-state crimes are random, senseless, and without remorse.
Nothing really even mattered except their own gratification.
1994. Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers explodes across movie screens. The film stars Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis as psychopathic serial killers Mickey and Mallory Knox.
Russell Williams, professor of film studies, American University.
Natural Born Killers shocked the world when it was first released. The movie, on the one hand, is an ultra-violent love story. On the other, it's an indictment of American culture and how the media turns mass murderers and serial killers into celebrities.
The movie sparks controversy around the globe, and reviews are mixed.
One critic calls the film loathsome, while another calls it evil. Some say it even glorifies killing.
Despite the criticism, the movie does well at the box office, and very quickly, it gains a cult following.
Jeff Edgars, Washington Post.
People begin to use the term natural born killers, or NBK for short, to describe the fantasy of killing people. Obviously, the film is registered on people's psyche.
And for young couple Ben Darris and Sarah Edmondson, the movie does more than just register on their psyche. It inspires them to follow in the footsteps of the film's lead characters.
Curtis Fees, investigative journalist.
It definitely takes a certain type of demented person to kill an innocent person at point-blank range.
So how do two teenagers in love from Oklahoma turn into real-life natural-born killers? It all starts with a girl in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Muskogee is your typical southern town. Not too big, not too small.
Daddy, look what I got.
Hey, Sarah. Wow. Wow.
Sarah Edmondson grows up in a prominent Oklahoma family, the apple of her father's eye.
It'd be so beautiful in that. I love
it. Thank you. I think so, too.
She seemed to be a fairly popular girl in school.
She worked with the newspaper and the yearbook in her school.
Around town, Sarah's family is known for their long history of public service.
Nothing like a family dinner. Yes.
Basically, sometimes they were called the Kennedys of Oklahoma. Her grandfather had been a U.S. congressman. Her uncle at the time was attorney general. Her father was actually a judge and is now a Supreme Court judge in the state of Oklahoma.
So from the outside, Sarah Edmondson appears to have it all.
But on the inside, Sarah has her share of struggles.
Ryan Tobias, forensic psychologist.
Early on, she did show some signs of mental illness.
Around 13 or 14 years old, Sarah's grandfather died, and she took that especially hard. She also lost a friend to suicide and two to a car crash, so her parents became worried because at one point she came home with spray paint and spray painted her entire room black.
Bouts of anger,
turn into bouts of sadness. In the grips of a deep depression, Sarah cuts herself.
There are several reasons why someone may engage in self-injurious behavior. For a lot of people, they're not feeling emotions in their day-to-day life, and by hurting themselves, they can feel.
As Sarah grows up, her troubles continue, and she attracts her first bad boy boyfriend, a 17-year-old boy named Patrick.
He was a drug user and was 2 or 3 years older than Sarah.
He got her into hanging out with the wrong people, so her parents weren't too enamored with him.
Patrick's rebel streak and heavy partying prove irresistible to Sarah.
I'm not having this conversation anymore. What do you want me to say?
Please don't go. Let's work through this.
I'm going home with Patrick. I don't even care.
The thrill of going against her parents' wishes only adds to the attraction.
Right or wrong, they do blame Patrick for her behavior.
Eventually, in an effort to keep Patrick away from his daughter, Judge Edmondson takes out a restraining order against him. Sarah is convinced by her family to enter a residential treatment facility.
Corporal Kelly Beach, Muskogee Police Department.
I understand that once Sarah was away from Patrick, that she had began to do better.
Sarah finally receives the help that she needs and is finally appearing to be clean and sober.
After a short stay in rehab, Sarah reunites with her family.
It's so good to be home.
She eventually did finish high school, and from there she went on to college, so her parents were excited about that.
In the fall of 1995, Sarah enrolls at Northeastern Oklahoma State University.
So how was that test?
It was tough.
Sarah was on track. It was thought that she was going to graduate and maybe follow in the family's footsteps in some way.
Hey.
But without her parents' watchful eye, Sarah begins giving in to some of the temptations college life has to offer.
Not long after Sarah arrived, she did discover a place that the kids called the commune.
You guys been here for what? All night.
It was off college campus, but it's where the college kids would go to hang out and spend time with friends and do drugs.
A place like that, that could be a very dangerous place, especially to a recovering drug abuser.
Sarah begins cutting classes and hanging out at the commune.
Sarah did fall off the wagon. She had people surrounding her doing drugs constantly, so it was fairly easy for her to fall off that wagon.
And it's at the commune where girl meets boy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well,
what's
up?
Not much. Yeah.
And it's love at first sight. 18-year-old Ben Darris enters Sarah's life, changing it forever.
I haven't seen you around school this semester.
Yeah, I don't go to school.
No.
Well,
what do you do then?
Just hang out.
You just hang out?
Yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's going on with you, though? How's school for you?
I don't know, hitting the books.
Yeah? Want to hit this?
Sure, thank you.
He wanted her. He sought her out the entire time. And eventually he would, you know, get her.
Natural Born Killers is at its heart a love story. It's a twisted love story, but it's a love story. I can imagine when Ben and Sarah meet, it's not all that different.
In the movie, Woody Harrelson gives Mickey a charming personality. He's got a great sense of humor, and despite being a psychopathic killer, he's quite likable.
In real life, however, Ben Darris is not quite as likable.
Ben grew up with, I would say, a broken family.
Ben was raised by a single mother.
He dropped out of high school.
Definitely was not a family of the same stature or wealth as the Edmondsons.
Two lovers from different sides of the tracks, Ben and Sarah, like Mickey and Mallory, quickly become inseparable.
Sarah stopped going to classes as much.
And they pretty much clung together alone.
And eventually it just became about her and Ben.
After several weeks of dating, Sarah brings Ben home to Muskogee to meet her parents.
Hey, this is Ben.
Ben?
My boyfriend.
Oh, Ben, do you two study together in school?
No, I don't go to school.
So you're not in school?
Dad.
Ben, growing up, had issues with his father, and because of those issues, he had issues with other people's fathers.
What are you doing?
This looks like a problem about to happen
a
here,
problem?
Sarah. That's what it looks like to me.
He didn't like meeting parents really at all.
Sarah, I'm just gonna go.
Okay.
Wait.
Yeah, I'll...
Really?
Are you serious?
Well, you have a bit of a history, Sarah. We're just trying to protect you.
Her family didn't like Ben as much as maybe she had hoped for. He was just not the type of person they saw their daughter being with.
I wanted to have a nice night together, but that's obviously not happening, so I'm going to go.
Well, Sarah.
Fearing history is repeating itself, the Edmondsons plead for Sarah to break the relationship off. But unlike with Patrick, this time, Sarah is undeterred.
Sarah!
And rejects her parents' wishes. In an us-against-them moment, the couple hits the road and travels to an isolated cabin that belongs to Sarah's family.
Every great movie has that moment, that inciting incident. It's where everything changes. And for Ben and Sarah, what happens in that cabin changes their lives forever.
Sarah Edmondson and Ben Darris will emerge from the cabin in the woods as natural-born killers. Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers chronicles Mickey and Mallory Knox's multi-state murder spree. The film quickly gains a cult following and ultimately inspires two Oklahoma teenagers, Ben Darris and Sarah Edmondson.
Ben and Sarah follow the example of Mickey and Mallory so closely, it's almost as if they're carrying a script.
But before these two lovers begin their deadly road trip, they retreat to Sarah's family's cabin in the woods.
When Sarah and Ben arrived, they did do a lot of drugs, mostly LSD. They were doing heavy LSD. One hit of LSD can do crazy things to a mind. Ben probably did around triple what the average person would do. Sarah probably did around double. They undoubtedly had a very substantial trip.
There's a scene in Natural Born Killers where Mickey and Mallory are holed up in a motel room. They're having sex and watching these violent images on the TV. That's exactly how I picture Ben and Sarah that weekend in her parents' cabin.
Only Sarah and Ben aren't just watching violent images. They're watching one film over and over again. Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers does have imagery that, if you think about it, it almost seems like it's made for people who are tripping on some sort of drug.
Natural Born Killers is really the cinematic equivalent of an acid trip. You've got black and white, you've got animation, you've got these things with horns, you've got blood everywhere. I can only imagine what it would have been like for Ben and Sarah to watch it after taking acid.
Ben sees a kindred spirit in Woody Harrelson's character, Mickey Knox.
In the movie, we discover that when Mickey was a boy, he watched his abusive father shoot himself in the head.
A similar incident is true for Ben Darris.
Ben did not grow up in a stable home environment. His father was an alcoholic. Never hit him, but actually hit his mother. I don't think anybody could have enjoyed what he was going through growing up. His father actually committed suicide when Ben was young.
Imagine Ben watching this movie and realizing that he and this anti-hero, Mickey, share the same dark path.
Natural Born Killers was pretty much watched on a loop, that they watched it over and over.
Normal person can watch a movie and be done with it, but the simple fact that they wanted to watch this highly graphic and violent movie repeatedly while taking various drugs, there's no way it could have ended well for two people in their mental state.
And by the end of the weekend, Ben has become so obsessed with the film that he proposes a plan to recreate Mickey and Mallory's road trip.
What are we doing with our lives? We need to get out there.
We need to be alive.
In the cabin, Sarah finds her father's .38 caliber revolver. It's all coming together for them.
I think it was, maybe you could say, a perfect storm that came together with the drug usage. Ben's background, family background, and watching that movie.
I wonder what was appealing to them. Was it just the pure killing? Was it the idea of these two young lovers conquering their demons a la Mickey and Mallory?
Or did they get excited about the wild fame they could achieve as celebrity criminals? It's hard to say. Maybe all of the above. Either way, it doesn't matter. When they left the cabin that weekend, fiction crossed over into reality.
On March 6th, 1995, without telling anyone where they are going, Ben and Sarah hit the road. To kick off their dark adventure, they decide to catch a Grateful Dead concert a six-hour drive away in Memphis, Tennessee.
We can do whatever we want.
Look, there's just something romantic about being on the road with someone you love or someone that you think you love.
I think it became a point that maybe they fed off of each other.
When Mickey and Mallory first hit the road, there's that iconic scene in the movie when they're on the bridge, and the first thing we see is Mallory dropping the doll hundreds of feet over the edge.
And then Mickey delivers a line that is profound and chilling. The past is behind us, time to grow up. The road to hell is in front of us. Well, for Ben and Sarah, the road to hell was in front of them too.
Look what I brought.
By taking the gun, it shows some intent of what they were going to do. Whether or not they set out to kill people or actually hurt people, I don't know. Those things could have been formed along the way. But I think at some point that they were wanting to reenact Natural Born Killers.
When the couple arrives in Memphis, they discover that the concert isn't for several weeks.
Once Grateful Dead didn't work out, they hit the road again and they headed towards Mississippi.
They had used up all the money that they had taken with them, which was not a very large amount.
And it was at this point that Ben decided they needed to rob somebody.
All right, babe, listen. I got a plan.
And that's about the time they started putting their natural born killers idea into action.
We're going to find a farmhouse.
Ben suggests they find a house to rob and then kill everyone in sight, similar to the way Mickey and Mallory did in the film.
No farmers.
All right, fine. No farmers. But we'll find someone else.
You're crazy. I would never do anything like that. You wouldn't either, right?
I would. And I will. And so will you.
I believe Ben and Sarah created their own reality based on the movie, which unfortunately involved killing people.
On March 7th, 1995, Ben and Sarah take a random exit off the highway and end up just outside of Hernando, Mississippi.
I think once Ben and Sarah arrived in Hernando, it was time for Ben to start acting out his fantasy.
Now, we get inside, act like a little Miss Sweetie Pie, and ask the guy for directions.
They had planned on robbing somebody, and when they came across a cotton gin, they decided that was as good of a place as any.
Inside, Bill Savage, the general manager of the Cotton Gin, works alone.
Ben told Sarah to act kind of angelic when they went in, basically to keep anyone who was in the shop, keep their mind off of what he was doing.
Can I help you, young lady? You know the office is about to close.
One of Mickey and Mallory's first victims is a police officer. He leaves the store, they ask him directions, and Mickey blows him away. Ben is working very hard to follow that script.
Doing as she's told, Sarah does her best Mallory Knox impression.
We're lost. We're trying to get to New Orleans. Can you tell us the best way we can get there?
Bill Savage knew something was wrong as soon as they walked in and started talking to him.
Is that the real reason y'all are here?
It's at that moment Ben and Sarah truly become their murderous movie alter egos.
It's Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner. Did you know you can stream the Copycat Killers TV series on Roku and Fire TV? Well, you can. Just download the Reels app and subscribe to see the TV show behind this podcast. And if you've got Prime, it's on Amazon channels too. You could even find episodes about killers inspired by Breaking Bad, Hannibal, and The Dark Knight before they're released here. Plus, you'll get to see what I look like in the show. I know you're curious. Copycat Killers comes from the real crime fans at Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. That's Reelz.com.
March 5th, 1995. Teen lovers Ben Darris and Sarah Edmondson spend a drug-fueled night watching one movie over and over. Natural Born Killers.
When a healthy individual goes to the theater, they can separate fantasy from reality so that when they go back to their daily life, they can leave that fantasy behind them. But when an unhealthy individual does that, they have a distortion where fantasy and reality blur. And that might be the case with what happened with Ben and Sarah.
Now, on March 7th, 1995, in Hernando, Mississippi, with the movie Natural Born Killers still fresh in their drug-rattled minds, Ben and Sarah have targeted their first victim. Gin mill manager, Bill Savage.
And it was at this point that Ben took out the .38 caliber handgun he had on him. The first shot went through Bill's cheek and into the wall behind him.
The second shot finds its mark, killing 58-year-old Bill Savage. Ben Darris has just shot and killed their first victim.
Someone who goes and intentionally takes another human being's life, in my opinion, is pretty much an evil person. I think that person has to be somewhat separated from reality.
Baby, that was incredible. Oh my God, you were amazing. You never even saw that coming.
Woo! Woo!
Baby, I love you so much. Ben talked about how just having control over someone's life kind of made them feel like God, so they were definitely adrenaline junkies at that point.
Oh, what a rush!
God. It was kind of exhilarating to him. It was kind of a high.
Whew.
Maybe an accomplishment to him.
The two of them robbed Bill for $100 and some credit cards that he had on him at the time.
Less than 1 hour later, police arrive at the scene.
The police in Hernando, they did their investigations, but there wasn't any clues. There wasn't anything. Hernando, Mississippi was not really a very big town. This sort of thing happening, it was very devastating.
Bill was a great man in the community. No one really had any issue with Bill. He also had a wife and he had children. The police scoured the town looking for witnesses, looking for any information that could help them solve the murder. There was just no information because the crime was basically random. Usually when crimes happen, it happens with somebody who knows the victim, and this wasn't the case. Basically, Sarah and Ben had gotten off with it scot-free.
Police have no idea this terrifying couple, primed for violence, is racing south high on a copycat nightmare inspired by the movie Natural Born Killers.
All right. Where to next?
It's New Orleans.
New Orleans? Yeah, I like New Orleans. All right, Mardi Gras, here we come, huh?
Ben and Sarah arrive in New Orleans around midnight, but they've missed Mardi Gras by several weeks. Still wired from the murder, they check into a cheap motel.
They continue partying, which included more alcohol and drug use.
Sarah and Ben needed money to cover food, their drugs, their gas money. And once in New Orleans, that money started to dissipate, and eventually they would need more.
On March 8, 1995, Ben and Sarah drive 60 miles north to Ponchatoula, Louisiana.
It's a small town, around 10,000. Everybody in Ponchatoula knew everybody else.
It's there that the couple decide to do it again.
Babe, you gotta do this. It's an experience you'll never forget.
Ben sees Sarah as his Mallory, straight out of the film Natural Born Killers.
I can't do this anymore. What do I do if I freeze in there?
You're not going to. This is in your blood, baby. You're a natural. You're bad, okay? You're bad. Come on.
I don't want to do it anymore.
You can do it. You'll be on top of the world, I promise you.
Ben said that it was like a mystical experience to him. It was like a feeling that he had never felt before. And Sarah said that Ben wanted her to experience the same feeling that he had.
Sarah was somewhat hesitant, maybe coming back to a little bit of reality of what they were doing and the possibilities of what could happen to them.
The killer couple target a deserted gas station convenience store just off the highway.
Your turn, Alex. Come on. If you love me, you'll do this.
If nothing else, Mickey and Mallory in the movie were completely in love, regardless of how crazy they were. And I believe that Ben and Sarah wanted that type of love. From watching Natural Born Killers, Mickey and Mallory have a very, very tight relationship. I mean, it's almost beautiful if you ignore all the rest of the murder and mayhem that's going on.
I think Ben wanted Sarah to really be a part of his fantasy. And I kind of think that maybe Sarah was trying to accommodate him.
Close to midnight on March 8th, 1995, Sarah passes the point of no return.
What I think is that Sarah actually was into the entire situation. She wanted to experience the same rush that Ben did.
If she was trying to please Ben, she definitely took it too far.
In the movie Natural Born Killers, the psychotic couple, Mickey and Mallory Knox, gruesomely kill everyone in their path. Real-life lovers Ben and Sarah are doing their best Mickey and Mallory impressions.
She had already watched Ben kill Bill Savage at the cotton gin, so she knew what was happening. She had seen someone murdered at Point Blank Range, and she chose to do the same thing.
Sarah walked up to the front counter there in the convenience store and encountered the clerk there.
The cashier is 35-year-old Patsy Byers, a married mother of three, 1 hour into her shift.
That's when Sarah pulled out the gun and shot her at point blank range.
Sarah leaves Patsy Byers for dead on the floor of the convenience store.
Did you do it?
No.
Did you kill him? Where's the money?
I forgot.
Go get the money now!
Are you dead yet?
Thank you.
With Sarah's turn on the trigger out of the way, the two twisted outlaws speed out of Ponchatoula. The calculated and brutal shooting of Patsy Byers has netted the couple just over $100. Minutes later, Patsy is discovered by a customer.
And it was at that point that the patron called 911 for help.
They came and the police department started their investigation. And, of course, the ambulance took Patsy to the hospital at that point.
Patsy Byers was definitely in the wrong place at the wrong time.
While Patsy Byers fights for her life, the Louisiana police combed the scene.
They gathered up some evidence, any fingerprints that they could get, blood samples.
The investigators' best clue to the shooter's identity is the store's security camera.
They had security footage to go by, but it wasn't a video as we imagine when we watch something today. It actually just took a series of stills, but it was enough to show the entire shooting.
Authorities can see the shooter is a woman, but the photographs aren't clear enough to get a positive ID.
It was black and white, and it was a little grainy. The best they could tell was that someone had come in, and they were wearing a hoodie.
The best photograph taken from the camera was put on a wanted poster, and which was posted around town, asking for people for any leads or anything that they may have seen.
The Louisiana police talked to people in the town, and unfortunately, they could find nobody who could identify the young woman.
Police have no idea their suspects are two 18-year-old teenagers on a violent, multi-state, natural-born killing spree.
At this point, the police didn't have any leads.
The crime was just like the Bill Savage murder, was completely random. Police were basically at a standstill.
You know where we should go?
Where?
For you to go to Disney World.
To Disney World.
Disney World.
I like that idea.
Yeah. The happiest place on earth. I mean, just think about it.
Yeah.
So how much gas do we have? Blue tank.
Full tank.
A full tank?
Full tank.
Okay.
In the movie, Mickey and Mallory drive off into the sunset with no consequences for their heinous actions. Ben and Sarah are living the same way as they drive off into the Sunshine State.
But after a few days at the beach, there's trouble in paradise. Ben and Sarah start to fight about where to go next. The Ponchatoula heist money is gone. The couple also realize that their crimes are leaving a trail for police, since they all occurred on the same highway, the I-55.
And it was at that point they decided it was best for them just to go home.
Within days of being back in Oklahoma, things go south very quickly for the Mickey and Mallory wannabes.
It's very likely that reality suddenly set in. Ben and Sarah started to have relationship problems. It finally probably hit them that they had committed serious crimes and were in serious trouble.
Do you think she died?
What does it matter?
If she's still alive, she could identify me.
I don't think that's a problem. You said she was hardly breathing, right?
Mickey and Mallory, they were together for life. But that's the movie. Sometimes we pledge to be together for life, but it just doesn't work out.
Do you want to come to the cabin with me tonight?
I can't tonight.
Come on, I don't want to be alone.
I can't tonight, all right?
Where are you going?
Sarah needs to talk about what happened on the road trip. When Ben won't listen, she goes looking for someone who will.
Sarah sought out Patrick. Patrick was Sarah's former boyfriend. He still had feelings for her. He probably jumped at the chance to spend more time with Sarah.
So now I've seen Ben for a little bit, right? And so we went to my family's cabin for the weekend.
Yeah.
And did a whole bunch of drugs, like LSD. I mean, it was crazy. And
We started watching this movie, Natural Born Killers, and he was, like, obsessed with it.
Patrick must have known something was wrong.
He took my dad's gun.
What?
He wanted to, like, recreate the movie plot.
What did you do?
It's sometimes hard for people who commit these types of acts to keep a secret. There's kind of a natural tendency with everybody to tell.
He was still talking when I left.
Hearing this from Sarah had to change his thoughts of her somewhat, but it wasn't enough to make him go directly to police or seek out police and try to turn her in.
Patrick agrees to keep Sarah's confession to himself.
We'll figure it out.
But Patrick's love for Sarah is about to be tested.
Step out of the car, please.
At the end of Natural Born Killers, Mickey and Mallory have managed to escape police and are living happily ever after. The message to youth is crime does pay. But for Ben and Sarah, life does not imitate art.
Natural Born Killers is a fantasy world. It's where killers get off with no consequences for their actions. I think Ben and Sarah were hoping to live out that Hollywood fantasy.
But in real life, things rarely work out as nicely as they do in the movies.
Sarah told Patrick about her road trip.
He was still talking when I left.
A few weeks later, Sarah is back with Ben, and Patrick is pulled over by a patrol officer.
How are you doing, sir? May I see your license registration, please?
Sir.
Got a male Caucasian.
When police search Patrick's records, he knows he's in trouble. The officer discovers an outstanding warrant.
Copy that. We might have a problem here with warrants.
Sir, I'm going to need you to step from the vehicle. Place your hand behind your back, sir.
Patrick is arrested on the spot. Knowing he faces a possible jail sentence, a desperate Patrick decides to play the only card he has.
Once Patrick saw that he was going to be in trouble, his loyalty towards Sarah was basically gone.
In exchange for immunity, Patrick spills his ex-girlfriend's secrets to police, including Sarah's confession about shooting a woman at a gas station.
Investigators from that point tried to start verifying the information. That information was put out to a wide range of states.
A short time later, the Ponchatoula police respond with details about an unsolved armed robbery.
Muskogee police detectives obtained a photograph of Sarah. They sent it to Ponchatoula police, where they compared it against a security camera photograph.
Sarah's photo is a dead ringer for the surveillance still in the unsolved buyer shooting. On June 2nd, 1995, Muskogee police and the FBI arrive at the Edmondson's family home to arrest Sarah.
Sorry to have to show up like this, Jim, but it's about Sarah.
Is she home, Jim? We need to talk to her.
No, she's not. What about Sarah?
Judge and Miss Edmondson were visibly upset. I think it just caught them off guard.
Well, Sarah's parents informed police that she wasn't home at the time, that she was out at an amusement park with Ben.
In planning out how we were going to arrest Sarah and Ben, we decided that we probably needed to maintain as low a profile as possible. We didn't feel that we would be in any danger in confronting Sarah when she arrived home. We had the cooperation of the judge.
Several hours later, Ben and Sarah pull into the driveway.
Hey, Sarah.
What's wrong?
I need to speak with you.
Her father told her that he loved her, and then basically read her Miranda rights.
You have the right to remain silent.
I didn't do anything.
Anything you say, they may use against you.
Sarah was arrested for armed robbery and attempted murder.
Patsy Byers actually survived the shooting. Though it didn't kill her, it did leave her quadriplegic for life.
Ben is also arrested.
Based on what Sarah's parents told police, they also arrested Ben as an accomplice to the shooting in Louisiana.
The teenage lovers are separated for questioning.
Take a look for yourself. That's your face in the pictures.
In that photograph, I'd say that is a person in a hoodie.
I can't even see the face.
When Mickey and Mallory are arrested, even though they are separated, they never turn on each other. They may be psychopathic killers, but they are incredibly loyal to one another.
But when pressured by police, Ben and Sarah can't turn on each other fast enough.
Listen, man. I had nothing to do with this, okay?
In Ben's statement to us, the whole idea was Sarah's. And Ben had just stayed in the car.
He made me do it. He made me do everything.
It's your turn now. If you love me, you'll do this.
In Sarah's statement, everything that happened was Ben's idea.
She said that Ben had become enthralled with the movie Natural Born Killers after watching it several times and had decided that he wanted to emulate the movie.
Go back in there and get the money. Go get the money now.
Ben was in charge, and everything that occurred was because of him.
She said she had taken the .38 caliber handgun from the cabin basically because she was in fear.
And Sarah's version of events includes a bombshell about an unsolved murder in Hernando, Mississippi.
Why don't you tell me what happened?
And Sarah implicated Banderas as pulling the trigger and murdering Bill Savage.
Police ballistics match the bullets from both the Bill Savage murder and the Patsy Byers shooting to Sarah Edmondson's father's .38 revolver.
In the movie, Mickey and Mallory actually get away with it. They are the heroes of this twisted tale.
Movies work one way and reality works another. For Ben and Sarah, their ending was very different.
Banderas ultimately pled guilty to murdering Bill Savage and the robbery of the mill in Mississippi.
He ended up with life in prison without parole. Plus, he got 35 years in Louisiana for the shooting of Patsy Byers.
Ben is currently serving his sentence in Mississippi State Prison.
When two people do commit a crime together, a lot of times it comes down to who's the first one to confess to the crime, who gets the better deal.
In exchange for testifying against Ben, Sarah is not tried in relation to Bill Savage's murder. She pleads guilty to armed robbery, attempted second-degree murder, and use of a firearm during a violent felony. She is sentenced to 35 years. She is currently out on supervised parole. But one person believes a third party is partly responsible for Ben and Sarah's crimes. Before her death in 1997, Patsy Byers attempts to sue Oliver Stone and Time Warner, claiming that Natural Born Killers was instrumental in inciting Sarah Edmondson's crime. Oliver Stone responds saying, "Violence is in us. It's a natural state of man. What I was doing was pointing the finger at the system that feeds off that violence and the media that package it for mass consumption." Best-selling author and friend of victim Bill Savage, John Grisham, whose legal thrillers include The Firm, The Pelican Brief, and A Time to Kill, weighs in on the case's controversy. He states, "Troubled as they were, Ben and Sarah had no history of violence. They had never hurt anyone before. Before, that is, they saw a movie. A horrific movie that glorified casual mayhem and bloodlust. A movie made with the intent of glorifying random murder."
The case was eventually dismissed, but the ethical questions it raised for filmmakers, those continue to be debated today.
For a movie like Natural Born Killers to send you off on a rampage, there already has to be something wrong with you, at least psychologically.
I thought the movie glorified that type of behavior, and I do believe that people can be influenced by it.
One thing is certain. The controversial film, Natural Born Killers, is forever linked to Ben and Sarah's story. And will continue to have a place on popular culture's list of movies which have inspired real-life copycat crimes.
If you enjoyed this episode of Copycat Killers, don't forget to subscribe at Podcast One or Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com. That's Reelz.com for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including chilling reenactments and crime scene photos you'll only find on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. I'm Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner.